It's just the first day. Like these first, call it 8 to 10 practices, all the way up really to the blue-white game next week, we're constantly installing. And so really the challenge for the guys is to try to stay ahead mentally, so the mental load of all the installation doesn't slow them down athletically, which usually is the case early in the first 2 weeks of training camp. A lot of guys are thinking a lot, and so it kind of slows them down. So the challenge really is to just continue to stay ahead of your install, build on what you had today, master the install one, figure out install two, get to your point to where you master it, and just keep on moving. And but really, it's just try to find a way to build on what we did yesterday and get better.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast live training camp edition. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey. And joining me, as always, the Yada Yada King, the managing editor of TitanSize.com and publisher for NFL Draft on SI, my co-host Justin Mello. I'm doing this like a stadium PA announcer now. How you doing, Justin?
I'm doing well, doing well. Threw me for a loop today. He led with Yada Yada King as opposed to... And I get dinged for everything on here. Titans wrap up day two of training camp practice Thursday. Sounds like the defense won the day for the most part, which, in truth, I expected to be the case yesterday because I kind of have this general belief that early practices, especially, you know, no pads, new schemes on both sides of the ball, albeit, but I always tend to believe that defense wins the day early on, and that was certainly the case today. But we've got a lot to run down, a lot of news and notes. Guys coming back from injury, guys getting activated off lists, obviously a daily Cam Ward report. Coach Robert Saleh, select player, about four players spoke at the podium, so lots to recap on today's show.
Yeah, totally, and I do think the headline is defense wins the day. I think the way you said it is accurate, although I'm kind of torn because on the one hand, the offense has a major advantage before the pads come on when there's no contact. Offensive line has a major advantage. Multiple guys talked about that. Robert Saleh spoke about it. Jermaine Johnson mentioned it. When the pads come on, they're not even going to be ready or whatever he said about that. So on the one hand, I like that there is a back and forth here. Offense basically won the day yesterday. Defense responded and won the day today. You want to see that continue with the offense responding in the next practice, which we believe is Saturday. Not 100%
Friday's
sure about
a walkthrough. Friday's just a walkthrough, and the media won't even be there. So, and then Saturday will be open to, first one that's open to the fans, I believe, right on Saturday.
That's right. And then the other side of that is that I kind of want the offense to be winning these days before contact starts. But the other side of that is exactly what you said. Defense is usually ahead this time of year. We heard in the opening clip there, Robert Saleh, talking about how they're still going through the install phases here. The first 2 weeks of training camp really are install phases. So during that time, there could be rough days for either side for reasons that we don't fully comprehend based on like what they're trying to get out of that practice, what they're trying to learn or install or rep in that particular practice. But we can safely say, based on all the reports that we've seen, and shout out to the Titans beat. I'm going to keep doing that every day because I think it's important to shout out the guys who are out there. Mm-hmm. Shout out and gals. Shout out to everyone on the Titans beat who provides us with these reports for us to look at. And but yeah, I do think like the defense definitely won the day. A couple reports that Ward was a little off, a little inaccurate, threw an interception in 7-on-7. 7-on-7, not real football. By the way, Justin, did you see Mike LaFleur, new head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, told the media either today or yesterday, I'm not sure which, that his team will not be doing any 7-on-7 work in training camp because, wait for it, Mike LaFleur said 7-on-7 is not real football. So nice to know that Cam Ward is not the only one who thinks that. Anyway, Ward threw an interception. Apparently it glanced off of Wandale Robinson's hands and was picked off by Cedric Gray. Not ideal, but also not super concerning. But I did see a report that Ward was mostly not as accurate today as yesterday. Had a couple throwaways in the red zone drill. Had a throwaway or an incompletion where he missed an open Carnell Tate during throwing a pass high over his head because Jeffrey Simmons had a pressure on the play. So overall, a rough day for the offense. Panic meter index, still pretty low because it's day two of training camp and you want these units to be going back and forth.
Yeah, extremely low. It's interesting because like you said, once the pads come on, you're right. It feels like the defense has an even bigger advantage because now they're going to rush the passer with a bit more vigor, and there's a whole lot of pressure on the O-line and things of that nature. But I still feel like even before the pads come on, when you're in the early portion of your install, the defense still has the upper hand. I mean, that's always it. You can go to the Senior Bowl, you know, a totally different experience, right? College All-Star game there, pre-draft, and the defense always has the advantage the first couple days. Like, that's just the way football tends to work when you're getting a bunch of guys in a new environment for the first time. Advantage tipped over to the D. But yes, Cam Ward with his first interception of camp, as you said, 7-on-7, goes off a receiver's hands. I don't think you feel too bad about it. Shout out to Cedric Gray, who came down with that ball. By all accounts, especially, you know, Teron Davenport's post-practice notes, sounded like Cedric had a heck of a day. Here's a guy coming off a season where he set the Titans' single-season tackle record.
Whoa! Sorry, not to interrupt you, but that was very Chris Collinsworthy of you. Here's a guy.
I didn't even notice I said here's a guy. Did I say here's a guy?
He said, here's a guy who.
Well, I'm gonna do the lean in. Well, here's a guy who is coming off a year where he set the Titans' single-season tackle record and now gets to work under Robert Saleh, the linebacker whisperer, as I've penned him to be. At head coach. So sky's the limit for Cedric Gray. Good day. Cam Ward wasn't the only quarterback who threw an interception today. Mitch Trubisky, who was like 100 for 100 at OTAs. Remember when he just showed up at OTAs and just lit the world on fire? He threw an interception today to get this. James Williams, who I had noted on day one, it sounded like, according to Zach Lyons' notes, as we shout out, you know, guys who are out there, you know, buddy of ours, Zach Lyons, sounded like he kind of worked in behind, like, Dorian Mossy and Anthony Hill Jr. and even Mo Diabate. Like, it sounds like James Williams was working pretty low on the pecking order at day one. It sounded like it, at least. He gets the pick today off Trubisky, which also indicates maybe that was he got some run with the twos in that case. But both quarterbacks, both meaningful quarterbacks, both notable quarterbacks, if you will, with a pick on Thursday.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely notable there. And yeah, this the headline is that the defense won the day. Another big headline, Justin. Robert Saleh spoke about this to open his presser this morning. Right tackle J.C. Latham has officially been removed from the PUP list, or for some of our listeners slash watchers, the PUP list. And maybe we should start dinging PUP.
I think it deserves a ding. It's mostly going to be me, but at least you got the first one there.
It's fun. Anyway, J.C. Latham, back healthy. You love to see that. He was not fully integrated into practice today. He was working on a side field as he gets, you know, conditioning back up and gets ready. But Robert Saleh said he will be participating at least somewhat in Saturday's practice. I'm sure he'll be out there walking through in tomorrow's practice. Yeah.
I thought he said he plans to hopefully be fully integrated on Saturday.
Said not fully integrated yet. He said he'll be back out there on Saturday, but not fully integrated. And Robert Saleh actually spoke for a little bit of length, I would call it, on J.C. Latham.
Yeah.
Much longer than yesterday. I'm going to play this. I stitched two answers together here. I think it's a good clip just on – this echoes sort of the way Mike Borgonzi began his opening presser on, what was it, Tuesday, on report day. And it's just like the building is projecting a ton of confidence in and excitement for J.C. Latham this season. The fan base, I feel like, is on the opposite end of that spectrum when it comes to Latham. Like, it's mostly concern and worry and frustration. So I want to, after we play this clip, Justin, I want to talk about that with you. Who's right? Is the answer somewhere in the middle? But first, Robert Saleh on J.C. Latham.
You know what? J.C.'s worked his tail off, man. Like, I know he had a little setback at the end of OTAs with the pec, but he, you know, give him credit. He stayed here the entire summer. He's worked relentlessly to get back in, to get that thing back to strength, the strength he's needed. He's at a really, really good weight to allow him to have foot speed. Like, the man doesn't have a weight problem. Like, he holds it really well. He got a lot of lean muscle mass. He looks really, really good. He just, but he understands that he doesn't need to be as big. The bigger you are, the less foot speed. And he's attacked the heck out of it, and I'm really excited for the season that he's going to have. And the thing with Jay, like, he's blessed, man. I mean, he looks at a weight, and he gains 5 pounds of muscle. It's fascinating. The guy is an incredibly gifted human. He's just got to be conscientious that, you know, like, every extra. He doesn't need all that weight. He's already going to, at 340, he's going to push people around. At 350, he's going to push people around. So he doesn't need the 360 and 370s. You know, he needs to focus more on foot speed, and I think he's recognizing that. And he's, like I said, he's attacked the heck out of it and really, really, really excited about where he's at.
So my question to you, Justin, is this coach speak from Borgonzi on Tuesday, from Sala today, is this like typical, we're going to hype up our guys because that's what you do in the media, because we don't want to create any drama or stories or narratives, so we're going to talk about how excited we are, and that's what's happening? Or do you think they are legitimately excited for what J.C. Latham can do this year? I mean, that wasn't just like coach speak glowing praise to me. The fact that this guy can move bodies at 350, this guy can look at 5 pounds, look at a new weight and put on 5 pounds of muscle, like, that's real, legitimate, specific praise.
I wish I could look at a weight and gain 5 pounds. I wish I could look at a weight and gain 1 pound. That'd be nice. That'd be really, really helpful for me. I don't think this is coach speak. No, I don't. I think they're legitimately excited about J.C. Latham. And I want to say this because, you know, I think both of us have expressed some concern and frustration with him. Maybe not to the level that some people are taking it way too far. I think J.C. Latham is an extremely talented football player. I think he's naturally gifted, and I think he is, for the most part, throughout 2 years throughout his career, has played good football. I don't think he's played great football. I think he's occasionally been a little inconsistent. I think the two biggest things for J.C. Latham going into this year are staying healthy, and some of that you can't control, right? In football, what did you say yesterday? Mike Vrabel, 100% injury rate, whatever the old saying is. Like, some of that you can't control, right? Hopefully he stays healthy. That's partially on the luck spectrum. Some of it, you know, it's up to you to be in the best shape you could possibly be, avoid the soft tissue things. You can control some of it, but not all of it, right? So he's got to stay healthy. And number two, I think he's got to have the right mentality, right? And I don't know that he's always had the right mentality. I don't think he has a terrible mentality. I think much like his play, maybe it's been a little inconsistent at times. But look, he knows it's a pivotal year, right? Year three. So what's next offseason? It's, you know, fifth-year option decision. You're eligible for a contract extension. This is a big year for him. So if he's ever going to get the mentality 100% right, because, again, I don't think it's bad. I think it's a little bit inconsistent. Now's the time, right? If you're going to mature and come into your own, and it's the second year you get to play right tackle, which I still think is his most natural position, like all these things, your second year under the GM, like now's the time to do it, right? No better time than the present. And I do think they're legitimately excited about him. And I've never come close to giving up hope on J.C. Latham. I just, you know, I want to see it, but I do think he's fully capable of going out there this year and having a great year. Am I confident, comfortable enough to guarantee it? No, I'm not. But I fully think he's capable of doing it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I'm going to hold out hope until there's reason really not to. Like, let's see him get healthy and let's see how he plays. And let's see how he plays not just in training camp and joint practices, because that's still, to me, part of the ramp-up period for a guy who missed most of the spring work. So let's see how he looks the first month of the season, and then we can... Everybody wants to rush to judgment. What did I say during the draft process, Justin? I said there's never an acknowledgement of the now. It's always, what does this mean? What is the big takeaway? What is the sweeping viral-style headline we can create out of this? For me, I'm just going to live in the now, roll with the punches on J.C. Latham. Justin, we have a number of comments to get to, including some super chats. We have other things that Robert Saleh talked about at his presser this morning that I want to hit. I have another clip I want to play from that. And we got more practice notes. But first, we got to take a break. So all that stuff coming up right after the break. You know that 6 p.m. moment where dinner's supposed to happen, but there's nothing in the fridge? That used to be every Tuesday of my life. But now, I keep the freezer stocked with Omaha steaks. Tender steaks, flavorful burgers, even seafood, chicken, sides, not just steak. All delivered right to my door. Arrives frozen and ready to go. Yes, frozen delivery can be that good with Omaha steaks. Because it's steakhouse quality without steakhouse prices. I grilled the ribeye burgers last weekend. They were beefy, juicy, and actually these burgers tasted like a steak. Because it is steak, ground from real cuts. If you've never tried Omaha Steaks, start with the burger perfection flight. comes with 20 premium steak burgers from 5 distinct cuts, including filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you can get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You've heard us talk about BetterHelp for the past month or so now, but I don't know that we've ever actually talked about how much people love this service when they use it. You can check it out yourself at betterhelp.com/reviews to see amazing customer reviews in real time. And these reviews are updated every day, with hundreds of people saying how much they love BetterHelp and how helpful it's been to them. Please visit betterhelp.com/reviews to see for yourself. BetterHelp has an average live therapy session rating of 4.9 out of 5 based on over 1.7 million client session reviews. The feedback from people who have actually used the service speaks for itself. BetterHelp therapists have at least 3 years and 1,000 hours of hands-on experience. They also hold all required education, training, and certifications across a range of mental health specialties. BetterHelp makes it easy to get started. Just answer a few questions, get matched with a therapist based on your needs, and switch therapists at any time if it's not the right fit. See the reviews, see what stands out, and see if BetterHelp is right for you. Visit BetterHelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com. Welcome back, audio audience. We roll on here talking about the things that happened at training camp. Let's chronologically do this, Justin. Let's go back to Salas Presser first, and then we'll roll through the things that happened at training camp today. One of the things that I wanted to play as a clip here before we talk about what Sala said about Femi and letting Brian Daboll do his thing and some of the other notes we have from that presser is the question that you and I debated for about 10 minutes yesterday. One of the first questions, I think it was the first question after his opening statement, was asking for clarification on the Sala Volson, on what he said about Cordell Volson being the starter, and here was that clarification.
You said yes to Volson yesterday.
Yeah, I apologize. It's an open competition, so you might see Volson starting out today. They're all at a bunch of spots. It's going to be a revolving door. I'm trusting both coordinators, all position coaches, to handle it accordingly.
So I texted you right after he said this live, Justin, and I said, I'm claiming victory on this. I also said that your interpretation would allow you to claim victory as well. But I think the clarification is he is not expecting Volson to be a starter. He is expecting it to be a wide open competition. Mm-hmm. And to that point, the fact that Jackson Slater got first crack on day one, to me, signifies that Jackson Slater is one day ahead, not significantly ahead. Volson did start at right guard today, so they've already alternated after just 2 days of camp. But still, I think it's at least meaningful that that Slater was the first guy to practice with the first team offensive line.
I don't know why. I still don't think it was meaningful. I mean, maybe I'm also being biased because, like, I had a different interpretation. He false started on the second play. Don't love that. Didn't hear a peep out of Volson today. I mean, neither good nor bad, but at least he wasn't Volson false started on the third play, whatever it was. Yeah, I mean, he didn't really clarify. I mean, he said it was an open competition. We know that. We've been expecting that since March, right? Since they signed Volson and haven't done anything else, so... it is what it is. Who is it on Saturday? I mean, we're going to track this every day, right? Like, until they name a starter, which they might not do until practicing for the Jets in week one, right? So we're going to keep tracking it. It was Volson today. Nothing really new to say on it.
Right. Other things that Sala talked about. Talked a lot about Femi Oladejo. Was asked, I believe the specific question was... how do you take a guy who is like sort of brand new to a position and get him up to speed and stuff? And this comment from Hayden Fielder echoes my thoughts. The way Salah's face lit up when he was talking about Femi had me fired up, hoping he proves a lot of people wrong. Same is how I'll start that. And secondly, Femi looks the part. I don't know how much that matters, but he looks like a dude. I mean, he's yoked, he is big, he is imposing, he is a physical presence just being on the field. Again, will that translate to anything? I don't know, but he looks the part. The question is, can he play the part? And Salah had a really funny comment. He said, I think Aaron would blow the whole building up, and that would be referring to Aaron Whitecotton, if I dropped the D-line, meaning if I took our edge rushers and dropped them into coverage, which Titans fans should be very familiar with that as a defensive schematic, because in the 3-4 scheme they'd been running, they had their ends dropping into coverage all the time. Salah did clarify, I'll probably drop the ends occasionally. But for the most part, Femi's not going to have to worry about reading and reacting and whatever. He's just going to have to focus on getting upfield, beating his man, using his athleticism, developing his technique. So I'm kind of like, I don't know, it's July 30th, it's training camp, it's hope season. Every team feels great about where they're at right now, even like the Dolphins and the Browns and the Cardinals. Like, everybody's watching training camp practice notes and being like, wow, good things are happening. Whether it's offense or defense, good things are happening to somebody. So at this time of year, again, back to the Latham thing I said, I'm going to live in the moment and just assume and hope that Femi's going to put it together and be a contributing player this year.
Well, I'll tell you something Robert Saleh has never done before.
A lot of people are forgetting about Femi.
Look at you.
Now that I know where the sound bites are, Robert Saleh has never forgotten about Femi Oladejo. And he was, like, that answer he gave on him, by the way, like, he spoke about Femi for an extended period of time, sounded really pumped about him. And then Femi spoke at the podium, like, really delayed, by the way, like, after all the, like, I think Dan Moore was the last one, like, it was Jermaine Johnson, Cordell Flott, Dan Moore, and then we got to Femi, like, several minutes later. I had to pull it back up. He looked big, didn't he? He looked real, I don't know if you saw that one, but he looked, I think they asked, like, you put on some weight, and he kind of joked, like, didn't want to admit that he put on muscle, and then he said, kind of said, yeah, it was, you know, had a pretty good off season from that perspective, but they're excited, man, like, it goes back to what you said about JC. Like, I felt like when Robert Saleh spoke about Femi today, it didn't feel like coach speak to me. Like, he's excited about him. He said one thing, like, he'll always play with maximum effort. Like, he loves his approach and his attitude. Just got to kind of smooth out the rougher edges of his game is how I feel. And that's a work in progress when you used to play a different position in college and you only played 6 or 7 games as a rookie. Like, all that stuff is going to stay. And you missed a lot of OTAs or all of OTAs with an injury. So all that stuff is still the case for Femi, but they're obviously pumped about where he is and hopefully where he's going.
Yeah, totally agree. And I do think, like, when you're trying to interpret or figure out whether or not it's a coach speak, generic answer, or actual praise, like, parsing how specific the answer is can give us some insight on that. And as you said, like, he specifically pointed to a trait of Femi's that is not a generic, you can say this about anyone, talking about his effort, and he's going to give maximum effort every single play. That's real to me. That is a real nugget that came out of this and helps us parse these things. Was there anything else from Saleh's presser specifically you wanted to hit on, Justin? Because we can move on and talk about some of camp stuff if you want.
No, I think some of the stuff, like, I don't even think we, did we mention that apparently the highlight, I think we maybe briefly, like,
I didn't
Cam
mention
Ward
it, no.
Did, okay, yeah, the highlight play today was a touchdown pass from Cam Ward to Elik Iomanner, who, I'm pretty sure it'll probably hit social later, if I had to guess. It sounds like he climbed the ladder over Cordell Flott, you know, new corner, who also spoke at the podium for the first time that I can remember since I don't remember meeting Flott yet there at the podium, but first time I can remember he spoke. But sounds like he climbed the ladder on Flott and came down with a highlight reel touchdown.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Elik Iomanner, because this is 2 days in a row that Iomanner has caught a touchdown, I believe. Yesterday was in a red zone drill, today with the play you just spoke of, which was also mentioned as being potentially off script, like one of the Cam Ward magic plays, which we love to see. I'll be honest. I'll be bluntly honest. Yesterday, there was no Ridley, right? Ridley did get back out there today. I'm not sure how much team stuff he participated in, if any. It's not really relevant to my point, though, because it sounds like IM Inter is working ahead of DK in the wide receiver pecking order. Now, I have not been able to confirm that. I don't know that for sure. Maybe they're rotating a lot and the ball's just finding IO through 2 days and hasn't found DK as much. But to me, it speaks to this sort of belief I've been, like, it's been creeping up inside me because because I've been thinking all offseason that DK was the guy that was ready to take the next step and be a true, legitimate wide receiver in addition to his Pro Bowl, All-Pro return abilities, and that IM Inter would settle into sort of this Nick Westbrook-Akina-style wide receiver four, reliable, can play all the spots, but not super dynamic kind of role. It sounds to me like IM Inter is trending closer to being a real contributing wide receiver in this offense. DK, obviously we know he has a role on special teams, probably still have a role and some specific packages on offense, but maybe IM Inter is ahead of him, and he looks yoked too. Speaking of guys who look absolutely jacked, like the veins that pop out of this guy's biceps are like impressive.
Now, I think that was a better use of pause than the
first one
you used. I'm going to answer Hershey Faeva's question here. Alec as the X, Carnell as the Z, if Alec is above Chim. Listen, very possibly yes, because I saw the the laughing at the Atlas with three legs comment there. Very possibly yes. I actually said on yesterday's show that, like, if that were to be the case with IO Manor, then yes, he is your X and Tate is your Z. And I honestly wouldn't hate it because I mentioned this Wednesday. Coming out of college, I felt Carnell Tate's best position was Z. You know, I feel like they were going to put him at X because that's where they needed him, because they have a Z in Calvin Ridley or Chim Dike, and they obviously have a slot in Wandale Robinson. But if IO Manor ends up being the third best receiver on this team, maybe that's the best case scenario, because then I think you're allowing your first round pick to maybe play. And I'm splitting hairs here a little bit, because I think Carnell Tate can be a very good X. I just personally think Z is probably his best spot. Maybe that's the best designation, you know, for your top three receivers. But again, it's going to depend on who's out there. If it's Calvin Ridley, then I definitely think Tate is your X. If it's Alec IO Manor, then I think he's your X and Tate is your Z. So we'll see. But love having a wideout room that I think is also pretty flexible here. And guys can move around and you have certain personnel packages, move guys around the formation. You know, a lot of possibilities, I think, with the way they've built this wideout room.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was going to bring it up to say that I think we might be putting a little too much, like, firm, not stock, but, like, too much emphasis on delineating between, like, who's X, who's Z, who's slot, whatever. They're all going to move around. Dable moves his receivers all around the formation. He finds mismatches. Like, he's a good offensive coordinator. Good offensive coordinators do that. But I do think, like, pecking order-wise, whatever role they slot into, right now, I would give the edge to IM Manor, and I don't think that's I don't think that's controversial. I think that's just the way it's playing out.
Speaking of Ridley, quickly, because I mentioned that he was back today. We didn't hit that. He missed most of practice. Oh, did you? Okay. He missed most of practice yesterday with a stomach bug and was integrated today.
Do we know if he was out there in team? Because that's the one caveat that matters for this IM Manor discussion. Was IM Manor working with the first team because he's working with the first team, or because he's in there for Ridley on some place?
I thought I saw Ridley was back. Okay. For team today, like full participant. So,
there you go. All right. Anything else to hit from practice? We should probably take our second break here.
We'll take a second break, start answering some questions. We had another super chat we got to hit.
All right. We'll be right back. Welcome back, audio audience. All right, let's roll on here. Some more practice notes, answer some more questions, and finish up our report from day two of training camp. I had to say that a second time for you, audio audience. Video audience knows because I just said it. Audio audience, you guys are missing out. All right, here's a question from Eli Cargyle. What happened with Flott? Heard he was taken advantage of today. It sounded like Flott was the victim of giving up a few receptions. You want to see that happen. No cornerback's going to be perfect. You want your offense to be completing some passes. Also, had some pass breakups. It's just a back-and-forth battle. Defense overall won the day, so I don't think there's any, like, is Flott going to be barbecue chicken kind of concern popping up here. It's just, you know, they're all paid to go win, and some reps the receiver wins, and some reps the corner wins, and I'm not really panicking about this at all, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's practice, right? Corners are going to give some things up. And it sounds like Iomanner made a great play on the touchdown practice, where man. He climbed the ladder.
Sorry, let me do that again.
We're talking about practice, man.
That was poorly timed as I get closer to taking full control of the soundboard. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like Iomanner climbed the ladder for that one, so probably had good coverage on it. Again, I'm sure we'll see it on social media later. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, day two, he had a PBU, not going to be concerned about Flott yet.
Yeah. Justin, you want to, give me a 30-second recap of everything we've talked about so far for Jordan Q28. Made it just in time. What did I miss? Timer starts now.
Defense won the day. Cam Ward was picked. He also had a touchdown to Alec Iomanner. JC Latham came off the PUP. We'll be back at practice Saturday and hopefully fully integrated by Monday. Calvin Ridley practice. Mitch Trubisky threw a pick. Femi Oladejo looks really strong and big and good. And very veiny, I think, as Graver put it earlier. And I think that's going to do it for the 30-second roundup.
That was only 26 seconds, so good job. I said Iomanner is the one who's looking veiny. And I was specifically referring to his popping biceps. Is there anything else? Are we missing anything? Should we answer some questions? I got to run soon. I still got
I want to talk about. I want to talk about Jermaine. A couple of the guys put up. Jermaine Johnson was an absolute pleasure to watch at the podium. So much fun. You got to stop. I got pumped up when he said, wait till the pads come on. They'll see. Referring to the offensive line. I think he said, wait, they don't know what's coming. Like once the pads come on. And he looked, I was like almost afraid. I was like, he just obviously a very physical football player who's excited for when the pads come on. And yes, pumped up. We're keeping the theme of this, the Music City possible, as Roster Grids puts it in the chat. And Dan, I mean, I'll let you talk about Jermaine Johnson because you watched that one, I think, right?
I did. And I also would say we keep trending closer and closer to getting to our OnlyFans Music City Audible show that we introduced yesterday. I think the funniest and best thing Jermaine said was that I view myself as a top five, top 10 player at my position in this league. And obviously the stats don't reflect that. So it's my job now to get the stats to reflect what I believe is my level of play. That's pure motivation. You love to see that and hear that that's the mindset coming from Johnson.
Indeed. You watched that one. It was very, very, I thought it was great. I don't think you caught the Dan Moore one, which I did catch. And it's funny, like, you know, this fan base, and I get it. Like we do judge players based on how they play. That's the whole point of being a fan. But, you know, Dan Moore was super likable at the podium. Like, I was so impressed with him. He was laughing. He was joking around with the reporters. They told him, Jermaine Johnson said, wait till the pads come on. Do you have a response? And he kind of just smirked and said, okay, you know, he'll see. He'll see kind of thing. Like, he kind of gave it back to him. Keeping the theme of the Music City possible, he looked massive, man. Dan Moore looks really, really big up there. I plan to say it before we do. I thought Dan Moore looked in terrific shape when he was up there at the podium. And he was just fun. Like, he talked about, I don't care about contract. People talk about the contract. Like, he knows what, you know, what they say about what the deal they gave. He said, I hold myself to an incredibly high standard. It doesn't matter what I'm making. Like, I know what I want to be. I know how I want people to think of me as a starting left tackle. It doesn't matter what I'm making. I hold myself accountable regardless. And I thought Dan Moore was a lot of fun. If you guys didn't catch it, go watch his session at the podium. It was great. Might have been the best one, I'll say that, out of the four.
Anything else, Justin, or should we get to some chat interaction here? I do got to run in about 5 minutes, so we can push this thing over 40 and then I'll be out of here.
I might just stay for an extra five. I know how to end this stream. I won't go as long as I did yesterday, but I know how to end the stream. So I might just stay a couple extra minutes if there are more questions rolling in that we can answer. Do you want hit the super chat since you're not going to be here?
Yes, and because you you got to answer this question. So
we keeping a book.
Lemda is pushing us. We need the weight reveal. The people are waiting. Did this happen during the audio break? I don't remember. Audio audience, you might be missing this. Who knows?
They might be super confused. That's on them because they're not part of the YouTube audience. They are waiting. I think one person might have guessed it right on the dot if I was trying to pay it. A lot of guesses came flying in. Some of you went some of you went too low. Some of you went too high. 125 pounds on the dot. As of this morning, I checked literally this morning. There it was, right-hand MacGyver, 125 on the dot was the weight as of this morning.
There you go. There were some other good comments in here. This one from Atlas6157. And Justin, breaking news. There are two Atlas members of the Audible Army now. Atlas6157 and Atlas with three legs. They're not the same commenter. Those are two different people.
I'm pretty sure when Atlas with three legs started commenting a lot, Atlas6157 was on a break from the show. So I literally thought it was he had just changed his username.
How about that? But no, I actually thought the same until I saw here he is back with a great little idea for us. Music City Pausable is a post-stream members only, except for him because he's cheap, and it's just Mello drizzling himself in syrup singing O Canada in Portuguese. What do you think?
That is definitely an idea. It's one of many ideas for the OnlyFans account. So there we go. That's interesting.
Atlas is upset that we didn't miss him because
we couldn't miss you, Atlas, if we didn't know you were gone. We just thought you changed your username. I had no idea it was a different Atlas altogether. What are the chances?
Yeah. All right. Is that it? Anything else? What else you got?
I think I did not star another question or two.
No. We've hit all the starred comments.
I starred a Nicholas Singleton question about Tajay Spears. I could have sworn.
You must not have, but you want to talk? Oh, yes. The only one I missed. Good call.
I'm taking full control of the production tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Do we think Singleton can overtake Spears and end up splitting carries with Pollard? JRTG 1VG asks. We've answered this almost every day, but we love answering questions. Graver and I don't think so. We think that is very clearly Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears are the 1-2. And Singleton is competing for number three. You know, he's a rookie. Although I think it was TD noted that Nick Singleton had some good plays today. He had some good carries. Everyone noted, though, that Tajay Spears looked really good and springy and wiggly, whatever the word that was being thrown around, especially on screen plays, which, by the way, they've worked a lot of, it seems like, in these first 2 days. A lot of passes to the running backs. Makes me wonder how much they're actually going to integrate that into the offense this year, but hey, if the O-line's no good, throw the ball to the running backs because you get the ball out quickly that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that answers that.
Jordan jumps in with, Singleton would only take over Spears if Spears can't stay healthy. That is definitely plausible. Not plausible, plausible. But also, Justin, I saw a report, I can't remember if this was today or yesterday now, Kalel Mullings was working as the RB3 with the first team. So Kalel Mullings is working way ahead the pecking order, way ahead in the pecking order of Nick Singleton right now. That might be normal second day of camp for a rookie versus a third-year veteran. Second-year veteran. But yeah, to me, I'm going to hold the line that I've been chiming for a long time, which is that Nick Singleton will not be a 2026 factor, but could be very relevant in 2027. And I'm pretty excited for Tajay Spears this year. I mean, the drumbeat has been pretty steady since OTAs, continuing through two camps. I believe Paul Kaharsky used the phrase stop and starty in his movements, ability to wiggle free of defenders and find open space. So I'm pretty high on what Tajay can do for this offense this year. I think I just starred one more question. Yes, here we go. We didn't talk about this roster move that happened today, Justin. Right-handed MacGyver asks, did Will Levis hurt Kane? Referring to safety Sanusi Kane, who had an interception of Will Levis yesterday. There was speculation that he got hurt on that play. And today, this morning, the Titans waived him with an injury designation and signed some other jabroni safety to come take his roster spot.
I had a feeling when you started talking, I'm like, there's no way Graver knows his name, so I just pulled it up. It's Hudson Clark, played college football at Arkansas.
Hudson Clark? That is the most creative player name I've ever heard in my life.
That is a stock name that Madden gives you when you start your new career. Hudson Clark, who I know everyone in the draft. I don't remember a Hudson Clark. Played college in Arkansas, spent time with the Raiders last year, more recently with the Birmingham Stallions of the United Football League. He was first team all SEC at Arkansas, thanks to Jim Wyatt, who wrote that article up for Titans.com. All I have to say about this is Kane is obviously no longer in the running to be the fourth safety, so it's down to Jarek Reed, Kendall Brooks is there, Bishop Fitzgerald, the UDFA that has some fans in this fan base. I think did I miss someone? Oh, Eric Hallett, I think, is the other guy. And I don't think Hudson Clark has much of an opportunity, but that spot's very much up for grabs. So I think it's Jarek Reed because he's a special teamer, but, you know, that race is wide open.
Yeah, hoping it's Bishop Fitzgerald just because that means they maybe found a diamond in the rough, but it's not really like for any other reason that I'm like rooting for Bishop Fitzgerald there. All right, Justin, I'm ready to close the show. Let's go out with this. Atlas said, Sala promised to kick the Jets' asses, unquote. I missed that. Well, if you missed it, I actually cut this for Heed the Call. But because I am such a multitasking producer, I just put it in this show. So we can play it right now. I'm going to dip afterwards, Justin, if you want to stay on. I mean, that's up to you.
I think we'll probably end the show. I don't think there's a lot of questions coming in right now. So we'll probably...
Yeah, and we'll be back live tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. Central for anything else that happens, or if you have a question as soon as the stream ends, just be here tomorrow morning, 10:30 Central, and we'll answer it then. Here's Robert Sala. Actually, here's Jared Stillman. I believe it's Jared Stillman, asking a question, and if it's slightly hard to hear, the person he's referring to that went on a podcast and talked about this is Jets superfan Fireman Ed. You may have seen him on TV or social media in the past. He's a he's a super diehard Jets fan who's at every game leading cheering like a cheerleader and wearing a fireman's hat, and his name is Fireman Ed, and apparently he said something, and here's the question and Sala's answer.
Fireman Ed went on a podcast in New York, and he said that he's heard that you said to people that you plan to kick the Jets' ass. Did you say that? And if not, what's your response to Fireman Ed?
I don't know, man. I was just made aware of it like 15 minutes ago. I must have had over 1,000 fan interactions at that event. So who knows? But I mean, isn't that the objective anyway, though, man? Like, I don't think the Jets are coming here week one to sit at the 50-yard line, roast marshmallows, and talk about our summers. So we're getting after it. They're getting after it. And may the best team win.
I love this for so many reasons. Number one, he definitely said that to somebody, and it got back to Fireman Ed somehow.
He didn't deny it.
And number two, he didn't run from it. He's like, I mean, isn't that the point? We're trying to kick every team's ass. So yeah, I might have said that. I want to win. Obviously, I want to win. So I love it. I love the energy. That's the kind of guy I want leading this football team. Genuine question from Atlas, Justin, the original Atlas. Sorry, Atlas from Three Legs, but you're not the original to us anyway. Atlas 6157, genuine question. What's the live stream schedule now? Because I've missed a ton of time due to work, so I don't know if anything's changed. Clearly, it's not Friday at 10 right now, and you're live. 10:30, clarification there. You can be here 30 minutes early, but we won't start till 10:30 tomorrow. And the number two clarification is we've just been going live. We went live on Monday. Did we? Yeah, we went live on Monday because I had a busy HTC early recording day. I think we went live. Now I don't remember, actually. We definitely went live yesterday, and we're live right now because training camp practice ended, reports flooded the Twitter timeline, and we wanted to get it out to you as quickly as possible versus recording something, waiting for me to edit, export, upload, and publish. Here it is. Anyone available can watch it already and get the latest intel on the Titans. So
yeah,
that's
really
schedule.
We're being 100% transparent with you guys. Like, there's no sneaky motivation behind it. Like, once the reports drop, you know, we've got takeaways from practice. If we were to record a pre-recorded, you know, edit episode, we're not going to get it out to you for a couple of hours, right? Graver's got to edit it. Oftentimes, Heed the Call's a middle of the day thing, so sometimes he might not be able to get it out on time if we do it that way. It might be a 7, 8, 9 p.m. upload, which we generally want to avoid. So to avoid that and to try to hit you guys with the news as soon as it's out there and the analysis as soon as it's out there, we've just been going live after practice. We don't have a surefire plan right now. But as long as we can keep doing these lives at the end of practice, that's the plan, so we can get you the news and the analysis literally as quickly as possible. We want you guys to make this your go-to every day, and part of that is being reliable and delivering things to you in a timely fashion. So for now, while we can go live after practice, you know, that's what we're going to be doing.
I'm loving the Atlas on Atlas chat going on here. They've planned their own podcast. They've disowned us. They don't like Justin's anymore because we didn't know the difference between them, and all kinds of fun stuff going on in the chat. If you missed it, scroll up, read. It's funny. But also, make sure you like this stream. If you're sitting here right now, 119 people still on the stream, and I don't think this stream has 119 likes, so I don't know what you guys are doing. Like the stream, subscribe to the channel if for some crazy reason you're not already subscribed. We are pushing for 6,800 subs. Did we get there? We were at 6,798 when we started today, and we're still at 6,798. That's a problem. Hit the subscribe button. We're pushing for 6,800, but more importantly, we're pushing for 7,000. We're closing in on a big milestone there, so subscribe to the channel. Stay after this stream about 15 to 20 seconds from now, and leave a comment on the real show. That'll do it for today. We'll see you guys back here tomorrow morning, 10:30 a.m. Central. Until then, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.